Right now on VFN TV, we're going to be talking about U.S.-Israeli relationships and what's really taking place as we provide military support for Israel. And what does that mean to America when we do that? We're also going to be talking about U.S.-Israeli, Egyptian, and Middle East policies that's taking place. This is some crazy days that we've been reporting it, but also the Russian threat that's going on. We're also going to be talking about the Palestinian people and their textbooks. What are the children in the schools and the Palestinian area? President Abbas, what are they actually writing in their textbooks? You're going to be shocked at what they're writing. And finally, we're going to go to the land of Israel today on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
It's going to be a physical battle. It's a physical battle. It's going to be on the ground.
God says things are going to get so bad soon that the draft is going to be reinstated in the United States of America.
I ask that the Congress declare a state of war.
So Pierce said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America is going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? As soon as that was said, that America is going to go back to the 1960s. The 60s were horrific. John F. Kennedy, assassination of John F. Kennedy. You had the riots. We had Vietnam War. We had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. Everything started breaking apart in America.
The people of God, the church, the people of Israel always ignore the prophets, right? It's what we do.
Holy Spirit said this year will be a very unusual wind and an unusual year on many levels. A phrase will be repeated. I have never seen anything like this before.
Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time.
If my people who are called by my name will do these things, I'll heal their land. He has always worked through a remnant.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates his mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ, because time is of the essence and the waters are abundant for harvest.
And the Lord said, I'm raising up.
That we're called as one to be able to move in unity. And so, you know, where are you connected at? Where are you rightly related? But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
This is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me in just a moment is Steve Kalaszewski. Well, Israel. You think about, why do we talk about Israel? Israel is the apple of God's eye. Israel is where Jesus was born, in Bethlehem. Israel is where Abraham offered up his son as a sacrifice, but God provided the ram. Israel is where Jesus is going to come back in Jerusalem and set up his throne to rule for 1,000 years. Israel is the place of God's chosen people that he chose to show himself mighty through the Jewish people. Nobody can come against Israel without God looking over and protecting Israel. And Israel's been established in 1948, and it will stand until the Lord returns. His feet will come back on the Mount of Olives, which is, you can see the Mount of Olives when you're standing on the Jerusalem wall. When Pat and I were in Israel, we got a chance just to look over from, as we're standing on the wall, looking over Kedron Valley, I believe it is, and saw the Mount of Olives and realized the Lord's feet is going to stand on that mountain. And when he stands on that mountain, it's going to split, and he's going to walk through the eastern wall of Jerusalem. I'm excited talking about Israel. But right now, one big question we have, because we've been seeing a lot of things go on with our current leadership and how they're basically just pushing Israel aside, pushing Egypt aside. At first, they pulled Egypt in, and they the first thing our president did, and we had this on VFN TV. You saw it first probably on VFN TV when our president, his first international speech was done at Cairo University in Egypt. He actually, some of the reports are that we'll be hearing on today's message is that he actually ordered that the Muslim Brotherhood be present in Mubarak's country, which was, he's president of Egypt at the particular time. And he actually outlawed Muslim Brotherhood from even being in Egypt. But our president, one of them, reportedly 8 members of the Muslim Brotherhood sitting on the front row when he gave that speech in Cairo. And who became the president of Egypt after that? It was Morsi. Morsi became president, a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Who was the Secretary of State during that time? Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State. Who was her unvetted assistant, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann? It was Uma. Uma, her assistant, whose father and mother were leaders in the headship of the Muslim Brotherhood when he was alive. And it's like we embraced the Muslim Brotherhood, our leaders did, when they're the very ones that were causing the conflict and the problem. And they're even advisors on our Homeland Security reports are. What's going on? Why are we pushing Israel aside, our leaders, embracing Iran? And now that the people of Egypt, who were shocked that we actually enabled and empowered Morsi, the Muslim Brotherhood, to become leader over Egypt, they had to throw that man out, put him in prison. They imprisoned a lot of the Muslim Brotherhood members for what they were doing, and they elected President Sisi, who was a friend of Israel and a friend of Christians and a friend of America, but yet our current leadership doesn't want anything to do with them. What's going on? Well, here is a report coming to you right now from a perspective of Israel and how the U.S. is providing aid to Israel. Things are going to turn around, and today's program is going to give you great encouragement. Let's take a look now.
The U.S. currently sends about $3 billion each year to Israel.
Some may argue Israel doesn't deserve those billions, but others contend it's America's best investment in foreign aid.
One benefit? More U.S. jobs. By law, most of the military aid sent to Israel must be spent back in the U.S. with American defense contractors. That translates to tens of thousands of jobs. What's more, when Israel buys weapons like U.S. sophisticated fighter jets, they make their own improvements. For example, the General Dynamics plant manager asserts that Israeli improvements save the manufacturer 10 to 20 years of research and development. He estimated that led to more than 700 modifications to the current F-16, valued at a mega-billion-dollar bonanza to the manufacturer. Another benefit? Intelligence. General George Keegan, the former chief of U.S. Air Force Intelligence, said Israel provided intelligence on the Air Force capabilities, new weapons, electronics, and jamming devices of mutual U.S.-Israel adversaries. He stated, "I could not have procured the intelligence with 5 CIAs. Israel also provides U.S. special operation teams with invaluable experience and training before they head to war zones in the Middle East. And perhaps the biggest U.S. benefit is strengthening its number one Middle East ally at a time when both are on the front lines of the war against Islamic terror." Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
Just think about that. The Central Intelligence Agency that gathers the intelligence for America. Israel's given us more, according to this general, more than what 5 CIAs can give us. They are the friend of America. They are a friend of freedom. They're a friend of democracy. and of course, the apple of God's eye. It makes all the sense in the world to stand with Israel. And if you haven't gone back and seen the programs that we've done on Israel in regards to what they've done with medication and agriculture and what they've done with so many different areas of life, technology, I mean, they have been blessing us. Just like God said to Abraham, he said, you're blessed to be a blessing to the nations, and they've been a blessing to all the nations since they've been back in existence since 1948. Just powerful. We got a great interview with Pat Robinson and Ambassador Ettinger as he's breaking this thing down, really talking specifically about the United States, Israel, Egypt, and how Russia is a threat, and how this all came from, how it all came about, and how we, our leaders in America, played a role. But yet we, America, he says very specifically that America is the answer, the solution to this, if we'll wake up. It's a powerful, exciting interview. We'll see it. We'll give that from the break. Make sure you join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
These times are harvest times. Think about this. How would your church handle 1,000 new members every week? And we all think that would be incredible. It will kill you. But we've got to start thinking like that. I tell you, we need to raise up hundreds of thousands of teachers. It is not going to work on the model of ministry that is now demonstrated in much of the church. Where you, it's like a spectator sport. You pay your entry fee and come watch a few people do it every week. No, we've all got to be engaged. I believe there's a home group movement. And we've had many and great ones. I believe you're going to have home groups in every single neighborhood that are solid, where God is moving, where he is doing awesome things every week, every day, and where people are bonded together.
Welcome back. That's a powerful statement. Some of the things that we're hearing that what Israel does, just in the logical sense, the spiritual sense is we're standing with Israel.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're friends of Israel. We are part of KUFA, Christians United for Israel.
Yeah.
And we support Avi Mizrahi's ministry right in Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. And we're for Israel. And
sharing the gospel.
Thousands of segments probably, you know, about Israel. We got all of our friends. Mm-hmm. That are Jewish, and some are Messianic, and some aren't Messianic. And but we said that Israel alone is equivalent. So when people are dogging out Israel, realize this. What they're giving us is more, the general says, than five central intelligent agencies put together combined. Mm-hmm. But that alone, just the logical sense. And then you're seeing our current president and his policies turn against Israel and turn against Egypt. I'm telling you, this interview you're about to see with Ambassador Ettinger, with Pat Robinson, with CBN, it's so filled with, very specifically, United States-Israel relationships, United States and Israel, United States-Israel and Egypt's relationship, and how Russia, all this is being fueled by the policies of our nation.
Wow.
But listen carefully, and we'll talk more about it after this interview, but when America, he believes that America, if we wake up, we still have what it takes to be able to do what needs to be done as an example in the world. It's going to encourage you, but it's also going to inform you. Let's take a look now.
Well, joining us to talk about U.S.-Israel relations is Ambassador Yoram Ettinger. He's an advisor to the Israeli Knesset, a former liaison to the United States Congress, and it's a pleasure to welcome to the 700 Club Ambassador Ettinger.
Well, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank
nice
you.
To have you. Thank you. Let me ask you about the Palestinians. Is Mahmoud Abbas a appropriate partner for peace, and is he really trying to get peace together?
During my days in this country, especially in the state of Texas, mm-hmm.
I was told that we should be wary of deadly coral snake posing as harmless skipjack snake. Those are two snakes with the same colors, but in reverse. Right. Mahmoud Abbas is that deadly coral snake posing as harmless skipjack snake, and the most authentic reflection of what is the Palestinian Authority and who is Mahmoud Abbas is not the talk at international podiums, but rather the daily education which he has introduced into the Palestinian Authority, K through 12. This is the most ferocious hate education, anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, anti-USA, anti-democratic, and therefore Mahmoud Abbas has not been an asset to the peaceful coexisting attempt, but rather a very egregious liability.
Why do you think these academics in America get so glassy-eyed and they talk about the persecution of the Palestinians and we're going to boycott and divest of Israeli investments? What do you think? What's wrong with them?
Well, those are the same academicians who provided tailwind to the old man from Iran who was on exile in Paris, the Ayatollah Khomeini.
Yeah.
And they stabbed the back of the Shah of Iran and produced the most anti-American regime anywhere in the world, the regime of the Ayatollahs. Those are the same academics who were behind Saddam Hussein of Iraq until the day he invaded Kuwait back in 1990. Those are the same academics who welcomed the Arab tsunami of 2011 as if it is an Arab spring. Those are the same academics, by the way, just like the Department of State, who referred to that Arab tsunami as a transition towards democracy. So why should anybody be surprised that those are the same people who refer to the Palestinian coral snake as if it is a skipjack snake?
I noticed that the court in Egypt has sentenced the head of the Muslim Brotherhood, I think, to life in prison because of murders he committed. What do you think about... We were welcoming the Muslim Brotherhood as a partner in peace.
Absolutely. The president of this country came to Egypt before the toppling of President Mubarak, and he, in fact, insisted that the Muslim Brotherhood leadership will attend his lecture at the Cairo University at a time when the Muslim Brotherhood was rightly defined as a terror organization by the Egyptian authorities. That visit was similar to Jimmy Carter's visit to Tehran. Jimmy Carter stabbed the back of the pro-American Shah. President Obama stabbed the back of pro-American Mubarak, and both gave rise to most vicious anti-American regimes. Today, we have another potentially pro-American regime of General Sisi,
yes.
But the president of the U.S., the Department of State in the U.S., still are turning a cold shoulder towards President Sisi and pressuring him to alleviate the pressure of the Muslim Brotherhood. By the way, the leader of Turkey, a very anti-American Erdogan, is one of the main Muslim Brotherhood personalities in the Middle East.
Well, of course, they set up the Palestinian Liberation Organization. That was an offspring, and Hamas. They were offsprings of the Brotherhood, weren't they?
Absolutely. Not only that, but at the time of the PLO, that was a chief ally of the Soviet Union, chief ally of the ruthless communist regimes in East Europe, and a major source platform of international terrorism, which today has erupted as a wave of anti-American Islamic terrorism. The roots were planted during the days of the PLO. And Mahmoud Abbas is the leader of the PLO.
What do you think is going on with our State Department? What's happening? Of course, the president is leading the charge to embrace Iran, and his aide, was saying, well, what we want to do is turn away from Egypt and Jordan and Israel and Turkey and embrace Iran as our principal partner in the Middle East. Well, what is causing that thinking, do you believe?
Well, I think it's a traditional third world driven train of thought, which has dominated the Department of State, multilateralism over the independence of American political and military action, primacy to third world powers, even if they are anti-American, but maybe most importantly, the victory of wishful thinking over realism, mm-hmm. The victory of engagement with rogue regimes over the confrontation and the defiance of rogue regime. And by the way, the Department of State was a chief opponent of the establishment of a Jewish state in 1948. They pressured President Truman severely to oppose the establishment of the State of Israel. They succeeded in convincing him to impose a military embargo on the Middle East at a time when the British supplied mm-hmm. the Arabs with arms. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the war, when the military establishment in America, then General Omar Bradley, the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, mm-hmm. assessed the Jewish state to be a formidable potential for American presence in the Middle East, and he recommended to declare Israel a main ally of America, it was the Department of State that overruled General Bradley, claiming that Israel is a very short-lived experience. Israel would not be a military power, and they even forewarned that Israel would become a chief ally of communism against the U.S. And how wrong have they been?
Well, speaking about communists, it looks like Putin has succeeded. The Russians were driven out of Egypt and out of the Middle East, and now they're back in Syria and apparently building a presence in that area that's maybe threatening Israel. What do you think about what should we do about that?
Well, the rise of the Soviet Union is a direct result of the unfortunate erosion of the U.S. posture of deterrence, the contraction of the U.S. military footprint, and the lower, the more eroded the U.S. posture of deterrence, the higher mm-hmm. is the Russian profile in the area. President Sisi of Egypt is a very classic example. He wants to be a pro-American leader in the Middle East, but the U.S. has distanced itself, not the U.S., the American president has distanced himself from General Sisi. By the way, that reality, strangely enough, has brought Israel closer to Saudi Arabia, closer to Bahrain and Abu Dhabi and Jordan and Egypt, because the less they rely on the U.S., the more they think they must rely on Israel, because in their assessment, Israel today is the most reliable life insurance agent in the Middle East.
When it's all said and done and you're looking at the world and you see it from the clear perspective you've got, what is your feeling about the future? How do you assess what's going to happen?
Well, I think most of the future depends on the U.S. I firmly believe, as a person who has known the U.S. since 1966, when I first came for my undergraduate in this country, I firmly believe that the U.S. still have the critical mass of reality-driven people, high-quality people in the military, in the policymaking, in the high-tech agricultural sectors to bring about a rebounded U.S. to where it should be, namely the effective leader of the free world, not a follower of the free world, not a co-equal, but a leader. Mm-hmm. For me, as an Israeli, the stronger the U.S., the more secure I feel. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that most of us, or all of us in the free world, should pray that following November, once again, we'll see a U.S. with resurrected realistic defense budget, mm-hmm. with resurrected U.S. posture of deterrence in the world, because global sanity depends on the willingness of the U.S. to defy odds rather than be defied by the odds.
Ambassador, I commend you for your bold statement. Appreciate that.
What a powerful, meaty, sane interview. Thank you, for Ambassador Ettinger. I mean, think of the statements that he made. There's been a lot of them, but one is, you know, he said the very same educational materials that were taught during the times when the Ayatollah was being raised up in 1979, when Nightline News started on ABC News. It started because we had hostages in Iran. That's the whole purpose of that particular program when it started. And it was every night they say day two, day 35, day 200, day 400. It wasn't until President Reagan came in office, the day he came in office, the day they were freed. But he's saying the same educational material that was used to raise up the Ayatollah regime, which now is Iran, and Iran's being embraced by our current leadership, and is being taught, and we'll be talking about after this break, what's being taught in the schools there. And it's just amazing what's being taught. So not only is this was before the Ayatollahs, now we have the Ayatollahs. They're blowing up mock aircraft carriers. They're shouting death to America, death to Israel. And that exists. And now more people are being taught that kind of ideology. Not good. Not good at all. But also he said, I thought it was pretty good, because the ambassador is saying, you know, most of the future depends on the United States. Most of the future depends on the United States of America. You think, oh my goodness, we're going to need to wake up. We're going to need, and we are. Well, I believe the third great awakening is coming. I believe that, you know, good times and bad times are coming, but that's going to awaken this blessed country. And he says, I still believe that the U.S. still has the crucial mass of that it needs to bring back the United States as it should be. So there's enough people inside of America, the ambassador's saying, to be able to bring America to its senses. From the ambassador's mouth to God's ear, in Jesus' name.
We agree.
And he says, as Israel, as an Israeli, he said, this is him speaking as an ambassador, the stronger the U.S. is, the safer I feel. I mean, think about that.
Which makes sense considering who their neighbors are.
Of course. And
what's going on so much in the Middle East. And it just makes so much sense. It's just like, and when we get that recognition of how important our relationship is with Israel to support them in their reality, it makes so much of a sense in regards to why Israelis value our relationship with them.
So when you're seeing people have policies to divest from Israel, we talked about the BDS movements, and you talked about how all of a sudden they're to embrace and support the Palestinian people, in so many people's mindset means to hate and reject Israel. Why not be like Israel and say, listen, the Palestinian people can join the country of Israel and be citizens, and you know, and so
they just refuse to recognize that Israel exists.
So you're looking at, to come against Israel is to come against God. That's what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Because think about it. To come against Israel means great darkness will happen on the face of the earth. And the church needs to really wake up, because ever how Israel's treated in the natural, that's what you begin to see take place in the spiritual. When you saw the church being persecuted through Hitler and all the things, the Jews were being persecuted, Israel's being persecuted, the Jewish people were being persecuted through Hitler and Germany and things that were going on. At the same time, the church began to get persecuted. That's when you had people rising up, and Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and began to just rise up and say, listen, we can't persecute the Jews. And, of course, he ended up being hung, you know, for his not having allegiance to a government that was against God's people and against Israel. He also said that global sanity, the last thing he said, global sanity, you know, there's the whole 7 billion people on the face of the earth, the sanity, this is the ambassador says, global sanity depends on the willingness of the United States to defy odds rather than to be defined by the odds. To me, it sounds like that's faith.
That's encouragement.
Yes. I mean, you think about David, King David, everybody was scared of Goliath and all the Philistines that was coming against the nation. But what did God do? God anointed a man and said, you know, we can deal with this thing.
Yeah.
You know, we fought the lion, we fought the bear. And now who is this uncircumcised Philistine coming against the plans, coming against the armies of God?
Yeah.
And with a one stone, he took down a national threat. It's So the issue is not, do we have the manpower? It's like you said, do we have the willingness to not to be defined by these things that are going on, to just stand up against the odds and say, you know, it's time to be America again. It's morning again in America. And guess what comes in the morning? New morning mercies. Listen, when we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about what's being taught in the schools.
Yep.
You know what? It's going to be shocking to you if you haven't been watching the program. If you have been watching, we've talked about some of it, but we have some of the new materials that's being taught in the school by a boss who is, according to what he just said, a egregious liability to peace. So why would we embrace this man at all?
Yeah.
Either way, and not only that, you saw this on VFN TV, the Pope went and held hands with a boss. Mm-hmm. The same way the Pope held hands, and every Pope's different, but the Pope signed a deal with Hitler. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what's going on?
Shook his hand.
You need to stand up for Israel and protect Israel, and to be a friend of the enemy of God is to be an enemy of God. We have to actually put ourselves in the right place. And of course, that's not all Catholics, but that's what that mm-hmm. particular Pope did, walking hand in hand with a boss, who you'll be surprised the material that's being taught in the schools. But first, we have this offer. Did you know that it's our sponsors and partners that make VFN TV possible? Become a partner today. We have an offer for you. For your partnership of any amount, it's offer 2007. It's entitled Hindrances to Love and Power. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said the kingdom of God is not about mere words, but of power. Are you wondering why you might not be seeing more power of the kingdom of God in your life and ministry as a believer? This message addresses that very thing. Hindrances to love, hindrances to power, and you'll be greatly inspired and encouraged as you begin to see the fullness of the kingdom by faith manifest in your life. It's the offer 2007, Hindrances of Love and Power. You can partner by going to VFNTV.com and click on Partner Now and follow the prompts, or by mailing to VFN TV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida 32505, or call 844-408-3688. That's offer 2007, Hindrances to Love and Power. The world needs to see us moving in the fullness of kingdom power.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Find out more at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means strategeo, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish His purposes in the earth. We want you to know that you need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you as you move forward in this season of the church that you be a part of the apostolic church arising.
Date night on a dime. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. When you're scheduling that next date with your spouse, Jill Savage says your goal should be connection, not spending a lot.
You know, it doesn't have to cost money. It just means that you are intentionally spending time together, just the two of you. We love to go to a local bookstore, and we have an old house that we live in, a 100-year-old farmhouse, and we're always renovating something. And so we look at old house books together, and we dream and laugh and kind of say, oh, that would be a great idea to do in our house. And then we close the book, put it back on the shelf, and go back home. And we've had a date, and it hasn't cost us an arm and a leg.
Meaningful, inexpensive dates. Something Dr. Greg Smalley and his wife Erin have written about in their book, Take the Date Night Challenge, 52 Creative Ideas to Make Your Marriage Fun. You can find it and more trusted relationship advice at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
The compassion of Jesus is the compassion
of Almighty God. And Jesus says to your heart and mind tonight, don't ever be so foolish as to measure my compassion for you in terms of your compassion for one another. Don't ever be so silly as to compare your thin, pallid, wavering, moody, dependent on smooth circumstances, human compassion with mine, for I am God as well as man. When you read in the Gospels that Jesus was moved with compassion, it is saying his gut was wrenched, his heart torn open, the most vulnerable part of his being laid there. The ground of all being shook, the source of all life trembled, the heart of all love burst open, and the unfathomable depths of the relentless tenderness was laid bare. Your Christian life and mine don't make any sense unless in the depth of our beings we believe that Jesus not only knows what hurts us, but knowing, seeks us out, whatever our poverty, whatever our pain. His plea to his people is, come now, wounded, frightened, angry, lonely, empty, and I'll meet you where you live. And I love you as you are, not as you should be, because you're never going to be as you should be. Do you really believe this? That with all the wrong turns you made in your past, the mistakes, the moments of selfishness, dishonesty, and degraded love, do you really believe that Jesus Christ loves you? Not the person next to you, not the church, not the world, but that he loves you beyond worthiness and unworthiness, beyond fidelity and infidelity. That he loves you in the morning sun and the evening rain, without caution, regret, boundary, limit, no matter what's gone down, he can't stop loving you. This is the Jesus of the Gospels.
Welcome back. These are the. This is according to, was it Nirboms?
Could be.
Nirboms. Sure. Nirboms.com. They're putting and talking about the material that's being published in the school books of the Palestinian people. So when you see on the news, you see young Palestinian youth throwing rocks and stones, mm-hmm. and the soldiers, the IDF, Israeli Defense Force, trying to protect Israel and protect the people, realize. This is what they're being taught in the schools. These are some of the things they're being taught in the school. The new this is what they report. The newest Palestinian textbook hardly acknowledges the existence of the state of Israel at all, they say. It hardly even acknowledges it. And then he even talks about the Levant countries that they talk about. It says specifically this, that the Levant countries presently consist of, in the book, this is what it's saying, the books that they're going to school with, the Levant countries presently consist of states like the Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria. Israel remains absent in the vast majority of the textbook maps. And even at one point, even Google Maps had Israel even mm-hmm. missing at one particular point. And if you remember, and the Levant is what you're seeing them constantly talk about when you're talking about when they said ISIL. The L in ISIL stands for the Levant, yep. which is the land that surrounds, which includes
Israel
being a part of that. I mean, they want to push Israel into the sea. And when you're hearing somebody call ISIL,
that's including Israel.
That's including the Levant, yeah. and that's saying, let's do away with Israel
yep.
and have this caliphate there. And that's what they're being taught in school. So the best thing to do, and I wish I could remember the name of this author, and we'll put it on the, we'll make sure it's available on the VFN Torch. But it's somebody who was in that mindset, raised as an enemy of Israel, and was taught all these wrong things about Israel. And what IDF did, the Israeli Defense Force, picked him up, and his father was a leader like in Hamas at mm-hmm. that time, which is the
son
Palestinian. It's Son of Hamas. Amazing. Son of Hamas. And he's talking about what Israel did for him, because he's used to being beat. He's used to being treated bad by the Palestinian leadership and all. And they arrested him. They took him to a place he thought he was going to be interrogated. And all of a sudden, they brought him out. They said, listen, why don't you go to school? And they gave him thousands of dollars to be able to go to school. And they just began to bless him because he had never experienced love and kindness. And he was confused by it. He didn't understand why, you know, the things that he was taught about Israel. And what they did was they paid for his education.
They began to invest in his future. He started a business. And then he realized, ultimately, I don't need to be against Israel or against the Arab people. Mm-hmm. I need to be for people. And he made Jesus Christ the Lord of his life.
That's powerful.
It's a very powerful, powerful testimony. And so if this is what I'm getting in my school books, you have to understand that's why I'm acting this way.
Yeah.
And even it says more. What are some of the other things that they're saying this in the books there?
It says that they demonized Jews and encouraged shahada, which is martyrdom, and jihad, which is holy war.
So they're going to school. Imagine going to school. You're learning your ABCs. You're learning civics.
Mm-hmm.
And your civic says, oh, by the way, there's martyrdom.
Yep.
If you die in the name of Allah, you're going to, you know, get to take, according to John.
John Guandolo, he actually read from the textbooks that said that they encouraged jihad. That they
Well, you get to name 70 members of your family, he said, as he's reading from the Quran. And in the writings of Muhammad that go with you to this, whatever this is. It wouldn't be heaven, but they would call it heaven.
Yeah.
And there's a martyrdom is that, and jihad, you know, fighting in the name of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh my goodness. I don't know. I was so excited when I saw this new series coming out again. They're revisiting roots, which I thought was very good to see that and educate this generation. But the very first scene in the series, and so I just kind of like, was them offering up Kuta Kinte to Allah and declaring, you know, Allah is God and, you know, Allah Akbar. I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, did Haley's writings even have that? Of course, obviously Islam was around and things were happening, but I'm thinking, did it all begin that way? Are you saying that Kuta Kinte was actually a Muslim? That just blew me away. But that's where the kids are being raised right now, and that the any other way than the way of the Quran, according to John Guandola, is blasphemy to them.
Yeah.
And so you can say, well, we don't live our life like that. We're a different kind of Muslim. He said that they're not Muslim enough, and that they, if as somebody who's living strictly by the Quran, then they would...
Yeah, just because they believe something doesn't mean that necessarily says, okay, that's contrary to what Islam teaches. Islam still teaches you have to
the
follow
Sharia law.
Completely.
So
right.
They would just kill you.
Yeah.
Or convert you back to living... And so this is in their books. This is what they're going to school and they're learning about. And here, you're in America, you're hearing things like, get prayer out of school. Don't mention Jesus. Take down the Ten Commandments. At the same people that are saying that is like, hey, educate these Palestinian children in hatred towards Jews and hatred towards non-Islamic people. The same spirit, which shows you it's just a demonic spirit. We gotta make up our mind. What are we going to have in our schools? When we teach the ABCs, are we going to use biblical principles? Are we going to bring the Ten Commandments back? Not that we're perfect. We've all fallen short, but there has to be some sort of plumb line in our life and grace to be able to walk in it. But this is what they're teaching. What else do they teach? Let's look on page 12 of that particular book.
It says, today the Muslim states need jihad and jihad warriors urgently in order to free the robbed territories and get rid of the thieving Jews in the robbed lands of Palestine and the Levant.
Thieving Jews. This is what their book says on page 12 in the religious affairs they teach in the school. And it's like, you know, racist. By the way, that's racist. They have they use words anti-Semitism and people don't understand.
Racism.
That's just racism. Yeah. Racism towards Jews. All racism is bad. God's called us as Christians to be able to win the nations, to tell them about the love of God. Nations, that word nation comes from the word Greek word ethnos, where we get the word ethnic or ethnic group.
Mm-hmm.
So we're supposed to love all ethnic groups.
Yeah.
Love all nations. And you're seeing this particular, there's no way that a Christian could support an Abbas that's speaking against the nations and wanting to hate
calling
the nations.
Calling for the extermination.
But for some
Israel.
Reason, yeah. You know, Pope Francis was walking hand in hand with a boss. We're going to go to a break, and we're going to come back on a lighter note. We're going to go to Eilat, the most southern city of
Israel,
and take a look at the Holy Land. Join us after the break.
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Do you believe in the cross of Christ?
I'm a pastor.
If you believe, then the question is, What are you going to do about it?
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We want to go to Israel. We always, you know, we're a big supporter of Israel. As you can tell, today's program is really focused on Israel. First, I want to say, though, I made an announcement about a prophetic night vision the Lord gave me. I said that was in December the 5th, 2015 when he had given it to me, December 21st, 2015, I said the vice president made an announcement in the Rose Garden in December. Mm-hmm. Actually, he made the announcement. Vice President Joe Biden made the announcement in the Rose Garden October the 21st, mm-hmm. 2015. And the vision the Lord gave me was December the 16th, 2015. But it's a shocker. If you haven't seen that program, you need to go back.
Yes.
Because you may see really soon a new candidate being brought on the field, Joe Biden, and some very interesting things the Lord had shown me. I shared it in that particular program. Let's go to southern Israel, the most southern point, Eilat, and take a look at that city.
Welcome to the Land of the Bible. I'm David Sussman, your personal guide today as we explore the fantastic landscape of Israel's most southern city, the city of Eilat. Eilat has seen many different manifestations throughout time. In fact, just prior to the state of Israel, there was a small fishing village here called Rosh Rosh that contained roughly between 6 and 10 fishing huts, just like the one you see behind me. The War of Independence may have ended right here in Eilat. However, it really began with the United Nations partition plan of 1947. The United Nations wanted to divide the land of Israel between the native Jewish population and the Arab population. The Arabs rejected this idea and forced our hand into the War of Independence. The last operation, Operation Uvda, in order to secure the Negev, took place in 1949. And on March 10th, Israel raised our flag here in Eilat, marking the end of the war. Eilat is known for a number of things, one of which is the beautiful coral reef that's located here. You can view the coral reef by scuba diving, snorkeling, or using one of the many glass-bottom boat rides that are here. However, if going out into the water is not suitable for you, you can visit the Underwater Marine Observatory and view its many aquariums and see the beautiful coral reefs that are located here in the Red Sea. The Red Sea was formed nearly 25 million years ago due to tectonic plate shifting that is literally ripping the earth apart. It has caused the Syrian-African Rift Valley, which stretches 3,600 miles from Mozambique all the way up into Asia Minor, which is Turkey today. Just like in ancient times, Eilat serves Israel today as a port to the Far East. As you can see behind me, we are competing against the Suez Canal, bringing goods from China all the way to Europe and even America. In fact, Eilat was one of the stopover points that was used by the Israelites during the biblical story of Exodus as they were leaving Egypt on their way to the Holy Land. In addition, during the times of King Solomon, he built his navy here, seeing that the port was a military strategic position and a gateway to the Far East. Eilat offers the perfect destination to have a little fun in the sun. But if lying out on its numerous beaches isn't exciting enough for you, then try out some of their more adventurous sports. They offer jet skiing, parasailing, even a number of courses in scuba diving. But if that's a little too much for you, then come out here to the marina and take a nice pleasant ride on a glass-bottom boat and look at all the coral reef below you. Or just go sailing on the beautiful waters here in the Gulf of Eilat. A trip to Israel can be exhausting with all the touring. Eilat offers the perfect opportunity to enjoy and to relax. There are a number of five-star hotels there and hotels to fit every budget. All of them have multiple pools, some of them with beautiful waterfalls and spa packages. It's the perfect place on your vacation to enjoy a day or two off and recuperate. Eilat offers a very long boardwalk, which serves as a great place to have a midday snack or get some shopping done. But at night, This place opens up with beautiful restaurants and even a lot of places that offer live music. It's a great place to spend the night. Thank you once again for watching The Land of the Bible. I'm David Sussman, your personal guide here in the Holy Land, and I hope to see you visiting Israel's most southern city, the city of Eilat.
David Sussman, that's beautiful. So cool. Israel's such an amazing place because the secular media presents Israel so contrary to what it really is. It's an amazing place of technology, medical discovery,
agriculture,
more patents that have been created there in that particular place. Just so many things have happened there. The land that you go from the north, although that's not its widest point is like 70 miles wide. It's long, and that's the most southern point. And it's like when I'm staying with the kibbutzes with the people, and this is obviously I got to take a different view. And I was eating like pancakes in the middle of a kibbutz on the side of the Galilee, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'd rather do that than the tourist thing, but it's such a blessing. I want to encourage you, if you haven't got a chance to go to Israel,
go to Israel
and visit the Duguid, which is Avi Mizrahi's ministry in Tel Aviv, and they have a 24-hour prayer room there called VIP. Mm. You can be a part of praying over Israel.
Beautiful.
I just want to pray right now. Let's just pray for the protection and the peace of Israel. Father God, we love you. We thank you, God, that you are hear our prayers. We thank you, Father God, for watching over Israel, not slumbering or sleeping, but watching over it 24/7, God, that you have your angels guarding it, Lord God. And we pray for the protection, the peace, and the salvation of Israel, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, that you would shift our leaders, that they would begin to stand in support of Israel into a country that's worth five CIAs, according to the general. That the world, the global sphere is safer when America is stronger. God, I pray that you would bring a third great awakening to America, a revival, that you would return us to the place that you want us to be as a nation, a city on a hill, a light, a supporter, someone who stands with Israel and stands up for the light of the gospel and the earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. We pray in Jesus' name. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
We have a great way for you, our VFN Radio listeners, to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.